Hello, you are listening to the Tommy Comfort Podcast. This series is titled Harsh Realities, which deals with disappointment. Disappointment is when harsh realities shatters hopeful expectations. Join Tommy and friends for some candid talks about their faith and struggles.
Some of the richest relationships I have took a lot of getting past the hard layer, took a lot of seeing beyond the surface, asking God, are you sure? Are you sure that there's something good here?
Because if we had gone from our first few friendship, our first few conversations and our friendship to decide we're going to be friends, how dare you?
Hella dry.
Snap along, laugh along as they explore how to overcome harsh realities such as heartbreak, temptation, insecurities, and more.
So today I'm joined by my friend and sister, Iffy Alexis.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, Iffy.
Hey, y'all.
I remember that we actually have a podcast together talking about five friendships you do not need in your life. And we speak about things like manipulation and a lot of things that you don't want in friendships. But I wanted us to talk about friendship breakups. And this is something I've been thinking about. It's something that has been on my mind. And I think when I watch a lot of videos talking about just cut this person off, you don't need all these energies in your life, this person is bad energy, all of these things, you know, just cut them off, cut this person off, cut that person off. And I wanted us to talk about what does the Bible actually say about this, and what should be the Christian way of relating to one another? Does everybody need to be cut off? Do we need to cancel everyone? Are there friendships that we can actually endure through? Because friendship isn't always going to be sweet. It's not always just going to be we're going out for brunch and lunch and all of those things. Sometimes friendship is difficult.
I agree. I completely agree. I think we've bought the lie that friendship is just cute. And I think it's just social media that oftentimes we're envious of relationships because they're matching, or they look cute together, they go on holiday together, they eat together and stuff like that. And I think those things draw us to relationships. And if you're someone that struggles to build relationships, you can often see that and be like, oh, why is no one doing that with me? But friendship is so much deeper than matching outfits or holiday vacations and eating out together. One thing that we know through the Bible is how, you know, friendship's actually built through adversity, and that there's so much more. There's so many levels to it. And in your relationships that you will inevitably butt heads, your rough edges will grind on one another, that there'll be times where you want to throw the person out the window, you know, figuratively speaking, sometimes literally as well. There's going to be times where the person just irks you so much and you want to throw away the relationship. And this is why it's so important to have our relationships built on purpose, have them built with what God says he desires for the relationship. So when those times come, you don't just quickly opt into, I'm going to love you from a distance, you know, bye. But you actually are able to stick it out and ride it out as God instructs you to in the moments.
Yeah, I definitely agree. This reminds me of a story, actually, of a time when I remember the situation, but we're not going to talk about it on here. And I'd done something that just really annoyed you, and you were in Primark, and you saw something that I needed, and you still bought it for me.
Yeah, that was a very annoying day. That was so annoying. Like, I was literally just like doing a bit of shopping, and I was in Primark, and I was like, oh, because I remember in a conversation that Tommy and I had prior, she had mentioned, like, you know, not having a hot water bottle and her fears around hot water bottles. You know, and I was in Primark and I saw a really cute one and I just picked it up and I bought it for her, even whilst on the phone being very angry. Yeah, she was just like, yeah.
And you're like, this is how you know that I love you. But just saying, like, our friendship hasn't always been easy. Even there've been different seasons and times in our friendship, that including you getting married, you getting into a relationship, you getting married, and how our friendship dynamics have changed in those seasons. And something that you said that is important is purpose will keep a friendship together on days where you just feel like throw the whole friendship away. Like, purpose is what keeps it together. And I think the reason why people are so quick to cancel other people is because there was no purpose in that friendship to start with. Like, that friendship was just all gist or just all banter. You didn't actually have things in that friendship that were purposeful, whether that was even just your relationship with God. You didn't have a lot to build on anyway. It was just sandy a sandy foundation, so yeah. It was always going to get crushed.
Yeah, I think we definitely build friendships based on, oh, we look alike, i.e. we're both black, for instance, or we're both female. Sometimes the foundations for our relationships are quite superficial. And one thing that we speak a lot about is Christ-authored functional relationships. So really allowing Christ to author the friendships and the relationships that he places around you, and in turn asking him, God, what is the purpose of this? What do you want me to do with this friend in particular? How do you want me to interact with him or her? How can I do so in a way that glorifies you and just, yeah, honors you? What's the kingdom output that you desire from this interaction? God isn't a God that just does stuff for no reason. But what do you desire to see? How are we going to draw more souls to the kingdom? How are we going to disciple the nations? Yeah. What are your views? What are your plans, God? Yeah. Show it to me. And you'll find that some relationships are actually not kingdom building relationships. They're kingdom destroying relationships. Mm. So as you move further away from those kind of relationships, you can attach yourself to kingdom building relationships. And I want to also add, kingdom building relationships don't just have to be we both just love God and we're passionate. Sometimes it could be you pouring out into someone in order to lift them up to a place where it can be more mutual. They're not always going to look the same way. And it could even be two people that love God, but the two of you together is actually kingdom destroying.
Yeah.
So it all comes from really leaning into the Holy Spirit and asking, God, what do you desire for this space? What is your view? What can you see? What's the potential of this relationship? Is there potential here? If there's not potential, let's leave it here. If there is potential, help us get there, God.
Yeah. No, that's definitely really powerful. Kingdom destroying relationships. I think you're right. People see common. Oh my gosh,
this word commonality.
Commonality is what I've been trying to say. people see that as just this means that we are supposed to be friends and this friendship is going to last. But God is more concerned with the kingdom. God is more concerned with building, with us building this kingdom. Something I wanted to also say with purpose is that, in our friendships, I found that you wear different hats, just naturally. For example, I'm part of the Love Limitless team. You are the founder of Love Limitless. So in some ways, even though you don't lord that over me, but in some ways you are founder and I am part of that team. In church, you're an elder. We go to the same church. You're my elder. So in that sense, again, there is that level of authority that you have in our relationship. And then outside of that, we're friends, we banter, we do all of those things. So you do wear many hats. And I think with that, sometimes there can be a lack of understanding sometimes, because you might be speaking from founder perspective and I think you're speaking from my banterish friend iffy perspective. Or you can be speaking from an elder perspective and I think I'm speaking to just iffy Alexis, you know. So just how we've navigated that, because I know that a lot of leaders will say that, well, you shouldn't be friends with someone that you lead. You shouldn't be friends with someone that is part of your team. Or you shouldn't be friends with someone that you're an elder to, because they're just going to become over familiar and just never take your advice or whatever.
Yeah, it's incredibly tough. I think dealing with multiple levels of relationship is tough, and this is where emotional intelligence comes into it, because a key chunk of emotional intelligence is being able to relate with people at the different levels that they're relating. So you mentioned some really, really good ones, from being team leader to being elder to being friend, sister. You know, just with my husband, I'll give examples. Some days in some moments he is husband, and husband means leader. It means the one that gives directions. It means this is where we're going.
Yeah.
Some days, it's not even some days, some moments, because these, honestly, the hats can shift. In the same conversation, you have gone from leader to lover, and you're like, whoa, to best friend, and then back to leader. And if you're wearing your lover hat when he is wearing his leader hat, oh goodness, you just get caught in the crossfire. What you're trying to do, come here, baby. And he's like, let's be serious.
Please, let's keep this podcast PG.
Let's be serious now. You know, and then things switch up on you real quick. You know, you thought you were doing romance, but no, now he wants to have a conversation about how you didn't clean the house. This may or may not be a personal example. So yeah, it's really good that you mentioned that. Some practical tips, I think being able to vocalize where you're at. So in our conversations, it would be something like, you know, I'm speaking to you as a you know, I'm speaking to you as a team member. This is something that's not going to work. And when you hear those things, you assume that this person has put on a hat, you know, let me come correct as well into this conversation. Or, you know, sometimes my husband says, oh, we need to have a conversation about something.
Yeah.
Just from the onset, that's not, oh, we need to talk about something lovey-dovey. Yeah. Like, that's serious.
Yeah.
So I'm coming there with my wife submitted hat. Mm. You know, I'm supposed to be anyway, and I'm working on it. You know, God is prude of my heart to come into that kind of conversation with a submitted heart, which is slightly different to just we're going to be bantering right now. So that's what I would say, given certain cues in your conversation to say, we're changing hats now. And even sometimes I think it can be tough when you're a leader and you're dealing with people as a leader and then also as a friend. So one thing that I did with one of my friends recently, my assistant, I just realized that she was struggling with the leader and the relational aspect of, oh, this is someone actually cares about me.
Mm.
And so we kind of said, okay, on iMessage, we'll discuss pastoral issues. And on WhatsApp, we'll discuss work, we'll discuss business. And that was something that kind of allowed her to actually be able to flip it back and forth that, okay, I can actually have multiple levels of relationship with Iffy. She's not one or the other. She's actually both. And then also you can have time differences. So there can be times, you know, if you work with the person actually on a 9-to-5 basis, then you can say during work hours, we're work.
Yeah.
On lunch break, evening times, we're not. Obviously, not all of us. I don't work with people on a 9-to-5 basis. But if that were the case, I don't work with them yet on the 9-to-5 basis. We're getting there. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
But then that's also a really good way that when you're with your boss and it's 9 p.m., you're not boss. If we're having drinks in the pub, I know some of us Christians, we don't do that. You know, but that's not boss anymore.
Yeah.
That's actually someone that you can actually have conversation with within limits and within boundaries as well.
But some people might listen to this and be like, that's just bare energy.
Yeah,
like that's just too much. Like why do I have to think about, why can't I just not be friends with people that, if I have to think about which hat you're wearing, then let's just not be friends. If I have to think about, oh, this is how we're good, let's just not be friends. What's the point of me putting myself through that?
Yeah, I can understand that, but this is part of maturity. Ultimately, such a person may have children, and the way you interact with a child when they are 0 to 1 is different to how you interact with them at 10 to 11. Certainly different to how you'd act with them when they themselves are married and have children.
Yeah.
Different levels of relationship. The way you interact with your parents as a child is different to how you react and interact with them when you are an adult.
Yeah.
And it's an adult to adult type of relationship. So it's, we have to balance these things on different occasions. And I think if you limit yourself to binary relationships, that it can only be one way, you just miss out on the fact that we are different. Even God is, listen, sometimes God puts on his fatherhood hat.
Yeah.
What? Daddy. But even within the fatherhood, there's disciplinarian. Yeah. There is lover. Oh, come on. There is Jesus, who is our husband man. Yeah. And the way he woos us and protects us and provides for us. There is corrector. God chastens those whom he loves. That God himself places on different hats. And it's not like, okay, I'm going to be this and I'm going to change. Because God is different to us in that he is all at once.
Yeah.
He is infinite, you know. So he's all of those things at the same time. So, but it's revealed to us in time as different in different spaces. So, yeah, we weren't even created to view things like that. We ourselves switch it up with people. So for such a person, I would say just to work on your emotional intelligence, because emotional intelligence means that you can meet people and interact with people at the level that they are interacting. And it's one of the hardest things. So I'm not even going to lie and act like it is, because there's definitely times that with my husband or with my pastor, with my sisters, where I'm interacting with you how I want to interact with you. And I don't care how you want to interact with me. You know, take me as I am. No, I'm not going to get serious in this moment because I want to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, and then there are times where I'm like, we're being serious. Can you behave yourself? And I have to also meet people where they're at. But honestly, the cues is really important. Like, you know, I'm speaking to you as a sister here. So that's one thing I do with people. If I'm mentoring them, you know, now I'm talking to you as a friend, you know, or I'm talking to you as a leader. And and that should let you know that the level of accountability has just gone up. If I say I'm talking to you as a leader, that, oh, this is perhaps less suggestive and more directional.
Yeah.
If I say I'm talking to you as a friend, that's a lot more friendship. It's more suggestive. It's less directional. Yeah. So being aware of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Something else I wanted us to sort of talk about and touch on is when friendships start to get difficult, because I am such an optimist. So when I come into a friendship, I'm like, this is going to just be the sweetest friendship I've ever been in. And then over time, you just start to see this person's character. You start to see who they are becoming. Yeah. And it just becomes more difficult to navigate that friendship. We're going to talk about more intense things later, like let's say a friend is gossiping about you. But just starting with basics, they are rubbing you off the wrong way.
Yeah.
They just know how to press your buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think that's something that I struggled with when we first became friends was communication. Because I just thought, like, we're friends. You should know what I'm thinking. And just learning over time, like, no, I actually have to say, this is what's happened and this is how I feel about it. How do you navigate that?
That's definitely a tough one. But we can't afford to be surprised when someone rubs us up the wrong way. Like I said, we bought the lie that all relationships have to be organic and easy. But they're not. They're oftentimes not. Surface levels are easy. Surface levels can be very organic. But when you start to get into the nitty-gritty of who someone is, it doesn't mean it's just going to be fire. But the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, that's not a pretty sight.
Yeah.
The result is pretty, but in the middle of it, it's clashing with knives.
It's friction.
It's tough. So not being surprised is a very key way. And this is why the Bible says make allowance for one another in love. Making allowance means that there's already an allotted amount of grace. I've already given because I know you're going to do this. So I've already made sure that, you know, before you step on my toes, that I know that it's going to happen. So I prepared myself. I braced myself because it's possible. And that's grace. It's not just, oh, no, no, please don't do it. Please don't do it. It's actual grace that you're going to hurt me the same way I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And that's normal because we're both human beings. So that's the first level I would say to answering that question.
Yeah. I think that's a really good one. Something that you said that iron does sharpen iron. Like you said, it's friction. It's our odd sides rubbing against each other till we become smooth.
Mm-hmm.
It's our imperfections rubbing against each other till we become smooth. And I think not running out of that process, you know, wounds from a friend can be trusted is what the Bible says. And I think we want the friendships, we don't want the wounds. We want the friendships, we don't want the correction that comes with the friendship. We want the friendship, we don't want the fact that this person is showing something to me about myself. Something that someone once said is, if someone bumps into you and you're holding a cup of coffee and you spill that cup of coffee, they're responsible for bumping into you. But whatever was in that cup, you were responsible for putting in. So if you put coffee inside that cup, coffee is going to come out. If you put vodka inside that cup, vodka is going to come out. And I think just in life in general, when people bump into us and rub us off the wrong way, we shouldn't pay as much attention to they bumped into me, but more attention to what's coming out of my cup. What have I placed in here? If someone pressed the right combination in my heart, and this comes out, it means that was in my heart in the first place. And that might just be the Holy Spirit saying, check that part of your heart. I know that there are times when God will allow conflict in order to show you these are your idols. You're overly dependent on this person, for example. You're overly trusting of this person, for example. Or you just have a lot of walls up. Whatever God is trying to reveal to you through that conflict, just allow the Holy Spirit to do his job.
Definitely.
Let's talk about a more serious one. So now a friend is gossiping about you. A friend is actually trying to destroy your character. Like, this person, you feel like they are after you. This isn't like, this could be something. This is like, no, this person's gunning for me. Do you remain in those friendships? Do you step away? Which is something that I have experienced as well. And I remember when I was going through it, when I was battling through it, and I was so upset, and you know me, I cry. I was crying. I was like, Lord, this person's saying this and doing that. And I remember God saying, revealing to me, like, it seems to me that you care more about your reputation than about what I think about you. And God actually just used that situation to highlight to me areas within myself of where there was still pride, where there was still the fear of man, where there was still, this is what this person thinks about me and how I want to be viewed. And God used that situation, but that still, there were still consequences in that friendship. There were still things that had to happen in that friendship.
Yeah, I completely echo that, particularly when it comes to gossip. You know, the Bible says that if someone has an offense against you, that you should go, or if you have an offense against someone, you should go to that person. And I'm a believer in actually allowing people to explain themselves and giving people the benefit of the doubt. You know, hey, you know, I've heard this, I've heard that, I wanted to find out from you, is this something you said? And listening to them, hearing them, there's maybe like three options. The first is that they are going to say, yep, I said it, and I said what I said. The second is that they might say, I didn't say it. And if they said that they didn't say it, then that leads to two more options. Do I trust that? Do I believe that? Or do I not?
Mm.
The third is that they might say that, wait, what were they saying?
I said it, but I didn't think it would get back to you. Oh, I said it, but I didn't mean to be spiteful. Mm.
So when you take it to them, there's one of two things that can happen. They're either going to say that they said it or that they didn't say it.
Mm.
Should they say that they said it, you know, I said what I said, it's either I said it and I'm sorry, you know, then you have an option. Or I said it and I'm not sorry, I mean it, you have another option.
Mm.
They might say that they didn't say it, and the truth might be that they said it. That's another option. Or they didn't say it and they didn't say it. There's so many variables that we're dealing with just from this one situation.
Mm.
I've been in the situation where someone like just outright said I didn't say it, but I just knew that they did.
Mm.
The facts were just too synced, and the person that they had said it to, I trust that person.
Mm.
And I knew it, but I had to say to myself that this person doesn't want to admit that they've been trash talking me.
Mm.
I prayed about it, I released it into God's hands, and I felt led to just kind of move on from that relationship.
Mm.
And to relate in a different way to that. But it can be incredibly heartbreaking when someone that you love, someone that you trust, has been saying things about you and you don't know what to do. I would say it's important to get all the facts,
yeah.
To gather the facts, but know that God is your vindication and God is the one that has you. That it's not I'm gathering the facts so I can plead my own case, but yeah. It's just having the facts, so when you do speak to the person, you have it. Otherwise a gaslighting situation can occur where they say, oh, I didn't say that, but you did. This was heard. Gathering empirical evidence, that's evidence that just doesn't change.
Yeah.
So
screenshots,
voice notes, all of those things, just being aware. But I think it all has to come from the heart, that God is the healer of your heart.
Mm.
That God, if God is for you, who can be against you? And
yeah.
we can fight these things from a position of truth, not just fighting for my reputation, but actually knowing what is true. So in the case of someone that was slandering me and saying things about me that wasn't true, I just had to resolve that, God, into your hands I commit it. You yeah. know that you are in charge of my reputation. Ultimately, I challenged him on it. He said he didn't say it. And then God, it's just all up to you.
Yeah. Yeah. But that can be so hard.
Mm-hmm.
So in those situations, how do you move on? Because I remember a conversation that we've had a lot of times is, this is not our friendship, but their friendships are so hard. And I always say, how do I know when to let this friendship go? How do I know? Because, you know, people give example of like Judas was stealing money from the money pot, but Jesus still kept him around.
Yeah.
So is it that I'm not having grace? If I say, you know what, this sister or this brother or this friend, they're leading me in the wrong path. They're doing this, they're doing that. It's affecting me in this way. I feel like I need to step back.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make me a bad person? Or is that just something that needs to happen? How do I know the difference? How do I know I'm not giving up so quickly?
I think accountability is key and counsel is key. Every situation is so different. Not being afraid to consult people that you know and know the other person and ask them what they think. It's we can only give principles, but I'm aware that these principles in practice can look so different. But I would say not to consult, not to go with how you feel about it, but go with what God says about it, go with what's the wisest choice about it. Because if I was Jesus, I wouldn't have Judas in my camp.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're gonna betray me, I just wouldn't do it. So that's one aspect. But you know, Jesus clearly was under instruction to have Judas there because it was necessary for the fulfillment of the prophecies. So not being led by our feelings is so key. There was a relationship that was coming to an end and I just kind of felt it and I prayed about it. And God said to me, create peace, create distance.
Mm.
And so I spoke to that person. I reached out, we had a conversation and I just knew I wanted to leave with peace. And I even shared with her that I don't believe that we're called to interact in the same level and in the same capacity that we were. I believe that distance is best, but I also want to bless you and create peace. And that was enough for that relationship. So testing our motives, are we doing it for self-preservation? Am I doing it because it suits me, or am I doing this because this relationship no longer serves a kingdom objective? And if that's the case, then it's easier to step backwards from it. Is this person a repeat offender that doesn't want forgiveness? Is this someone that doesn't even see their wrongs? Have I tried? Have I labored? Have I been patient? If those things are all in place and you've spoken to wise counsel and they all think that this relationship is one that can cease, then I would say that that's a good point to cease. But I think that we as Christians, we give up on people too soon.
Yeah.
And we just generally are like, I'm going to love you from a distance. And really, we don't even love them.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, there's a quote that isn't a Christian quote, mm-hmm. but it says, if someone shows you who they are, believe them. So how do you navigate that? How do you navigate the new changes in friendship and relationship? Especially when you know that you need to step back. I was speaking to one of my friends and one of the things that she was saying is like when you choose to step back from a friendship, but there are things that you've spoken about in this friendship, things that you've said, we're going to do this together. And then those things start to happen and all you want to do is just text them and be like, oh, yeah. This has finally happened. But you know, you can't anymore. That isn't happening anymore. And you feel heartbroken. How do you navigate that?
Yeah. So part of it is just time and healing. Can be very, very good with that. And this is why I'm an avid believer for as much as possible. The Bible says, live peaceably with all men, that it should never be a malice thing or a grudge that I'm holding against you, that I can't bless you, that I can't pray for you if necessary, that I can't minister to you if necessary. So I think we have to be so aware that even with the relationships where perhaps we're not as close, that if God gives me a word, I can actually deliver it to that person. Mm. If there's something on my heart to share, I can actually share. But it's not always going to be wise. It's just the same as a male and female breakup, that yes, there's gonna be times where there's highs, there's wins, there's lows, you want to share it straight away, but sharing isn't the best thing, mm-hmm. because the relationship has changed.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to live with that, you have to deep that and move on with that. I also wanted to add that sometimes when friendships break down, we can be so quick to be like, delete all the pictures that I had of you on Instagram, remove every video, block the person. But we have to be so aware not to be hasty. Like, the fool makes decisions in haste. You don't want to do that. Take your time, assess the situation. There are times where I felt deeply hurt by friends. And after consideration, taking time, conversation, I realized it actually wasn't that deep and they didn't actually intend to do that, or they didn't think that their actions would have the effect that it had had. So the willingness to not make decisions in a rush, but to take time, be sober-minded, be vigilant and think, okay, is this necessary? Am I doing too much? So I think that that's really cool. So even with that quote, I think it's Maya Angelou, if someone shows you who they are, believe them. Let's be clear and let's be sure that they're showing us who they are, showing us who they are in Christ, showing us who they are fully, because sometimes what we see isn't necessarily who they are, it's a projection of who we think they are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whoa. So if someone steps on your toe, for example, and you're like, oh, they stepped on my toe, they're a horrible person, if someone shows us who they are, believe them. No, that's your understanding of who they are.
Yeah.
If you leaned in a bit more, you'd realize that perhaps they're blind. Perhaps they actually didn't see your toe.
Yeah.
So let's not use that excuse to just be hard-hearted, that someone sent you an email or someone gave you a phone call and they were really, really horrible to you and all of these things happened. That's it. That's the end of it.
Mm.
Well, perhaps they were self-sabotaging. Perhaps they were hurting from something else.
Yeah.
If we're going to say that quote, let's actually think, am I actually believing them for who they really are? Or who hurt has made them to be.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I never actually thought about that. Because I think it can be so easy for us to excuse ourselves in bad behavior in terms when we have done other people wrong. But the moment someone does something to us that is wrong, we make no excuses, no exception.
Yeah.
You're just a terrible person. Mm-hmm. And I just need to get rid of you. Do you think that maybe there are times when God allows us to be in friendships that, in which they are just really, really difficult? Like, this person, this is a Judas situation. This person's gossiping about me and your God is still like, yeah, stay there.
Mm.
This person is doing this and God's like, yep, stay there.
Mm.
Still keep going in that friendship. Well, this person's hurting me in this way or doing this. Mm. Sometimes it's not that deep, but sometimes it can be a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a hard question to answer, but there are relationships in the Bible that if the person wanted to leave, if God had given that person a choice, they would have.
Mm.
If David could choose, I don't want to be king, I'm going to go somewhere else because Saul is testing my patience, I think David would have, but David had enough fear of the Lord and reverence for God's plans to stick with it.
Mm.
So there will be times where leaving is the easiest option for us, but it's not God's option for us. And so we have to keep our hearts open to that. Not every relationship is going to be like that, though.
Mm.
It's not every relationship that's going to be like that. However, there will be some. And if that's the case, then it's our job to stick at it. Because some people, honestly, some of the richest relationships I have took a lot of getting past the hard layer, took a lot of seeing beyond the surface, asking God, are you sure?
Sure.
Are you sure that there's something good here?
Because if we had gone from our first few friendship, our first few conversations and our friendship to decide we're going to be friends, how dare you?
Hella dry.
I was so interested. But I remember once we had this conversation where we were on the phone. I was saying to you, I just feel like you can't get too close to people because you never know when people are going to leave and all of these things. And you were like, huh?
That's a terrible place, terrible way to live life.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, please don't do that. But I was just like, yeah, but that's just who I am. Like, I just leave room. Like, if you want to go, you can go. The door's always open. All of I was doing my neck and everything else. And I think we could have had that phone conversation. You can be like, listen, I am not friends with this girl. She is too much. But I think that there's a lot of, like you said, making room, making provision for mistakes, making room for growth. There are ways where we've grown in our friendship in all of these years, that if just from one conversation someone said something wrong and you just said, yeah, I don't want to be friends with this person, we won't be there for the growth of that person and for the growth of that friendship. And what God can do for that other person through you, through your endurance, through you just sticking out, that this person, you know, maybe they find it difficult to share. And you just think, well, that's the end of it. I'm not going to be friends with this person. But what maybe God is trying to help you to teach that person to actually open up and share better and relate better. If someone is constantly upset and they're just, this person's too sensitive. Mm. But maybe God is trying to show you something in that friendship, and it's about listening.
Definitely.
And letting God have his way.
Definitely.
In that friendship.
I completely agree.
Something else that I had to learn the hard way is just to listen to the Holy Spirit. I remember once God had said to me, like, this is the end of this friendship. And I really thought, this person hasn't done anything wrong. They were actually a really nice person. I enjoyed this person's company. But God was saying to me, like, the closeness of this friendship, the dependency of this friendship, the way you're dependent on this person and spending time with them, it's unhealthy, it's borderline toxic. You actually need to step back. You actually should not be in this friendship. I think something that you said before is that not all friendships are kingdom advancing friendships. Some friendships are kingdom destroying friendships. And you actually have to say, you haven't done anything wrong per se, but it's just not healthy for us to be this close. If you are my number one confidant and my number one everything, and you're taking the space that God should be taking in my life, yeah, we do need to have a step back, sis, or bro, in whatever situation it is. So I think friendship breakups doesn't always have to be this person did this and they did that and they hurt me in this way. But sometimes it's just this friendship is unhealthy because we are too close. Or there are things that we're doing that on the surface doesn't look that bad. But me and you both know, like, it's not healthy.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much for joining me, Ify.
No worries.
On this podcast. Yeah, we have a few podcasts that we've recorded together.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Why Am I Single one. I was listening to that just the other day, actually. Wow.
I haven't listened back to that.
I haven't listened to it.
Just link it in the bio if you want to have a listen to it.
Just in case you want to listen to it. It's really good. We have the five friendships you don't want.
Yeah.
But something I think I've learned is that purpose isn't always just one thing. God puts people in our lives and in our circles for different reasons, and we need to let him be Lord over even our friendships, and we need to commit everything that we do and our conversations to him for him to be God.
Amen. I agree with that.
Thank you for listening to the Tummy Comfort podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and edified by this episode. Follow our social media at Tummy Comforts on Instagram and Twitter. Live loved.